Okay, we're in Lamed Beis, about 7 or 8 lines from the bottom. We're discussing the next segment of the Mishnah, and we might as well just start again from those two dots again. That segment says, in monetary issues, you can start, the judges can start the discussion, whether for or against anyone in particular, for saying the guy's got to pay or not. But when it comes to capital cases, we start looking in terms of his favor. So we're just repeating the last two lines we did yesterday. So hey, Chiamrinan, so what do we say in capital cases that we start the deliberations in a way that's favorable to the accused? So the first potential answer was, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, Hachi Amrinan Laho. This is what we say to the witnesses. Me, after they give their testimony, Mi Yemar Kida Amriso. Who's to say that it happened just as you said it? So they intimidate them, it appears. So Ula doesn't like that. Amar Le Ula. Ula says, he questions, Vaha Chasminan Laho. You're muzzling the witnesses. They'll be tempted to retract their testimony, and you shouldn't do anything to muzzle their testimony. Gemara says, why not? So let them muzzle him. Adarav, the Muslim, they won't testify, the guy won't be guilty. Aye, Milo Tanya, didn't we learn? We do something similar to that. Rabbi Shimon ben Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon ben Eliezer says, what do we do to the witnesses to make sure they don't lie? Masina se'edim makam makam. We move the witnesses from place to place. Why? Kidei sheyitrav daiton. So that their mind should be unsettled, and they will retract their testimony if it's not true. So you see, we do things to muzzle them, so to speak. So what's wrong with just intimidating them a little bit? So what did the Gemara said? No, that's not a good proof at all. Me, dummy, how can you compare the two? Hasam over there, they're not directly intimidating. It's just memelo kamitchi. The witnesses are indirectly dissuaded because we're just making them wait and draining them a cup. And if they're really guilty, so they're going to get nervous and they'll back out of it. But here what you're suggesting is, ha-ha, ka-dachinan lahu b'yadayim. Here you're directly pushing them away with your hands because you're openly attacking their credibility when they say, who is it to say that it's white the way you said it? That already seems that they're accusing them of lying, which is much more pushing, taking away their credibility as opposed to just frustrating them. Therefore, Ula says, I don't agree with your answer, Yehuda. That's where we're up to yesterday. Ula is going to provide his own answer. Nu Gemara. Ella Amar Ula. Therefore, Ula says, this is what the Mishnah says. Hachi Amrinan, this is what we say to the accused, not to the witnesses. It's not that they start talking to the accused, to the witness. They talk to the accused. After the witnesses present their testimony, they start in favor of the accused by saying the following. They turn to him and they say, Yesh lecha edim lahazimam? Do you happen to have any witnesses who could discredit these witnesses and make them edim zomamim? That's going to be the first thing we're going to look. So we're trying to help out the accused. Do you perhaps know somebody who could prove that these were zomim witnesses? Okay. So that not everybody likes Ula's answer. Omer le Rabba. Rabba objects to Ula's answers. What kind of business is this? V'chiposchim b'suzazet. Yeah, great. You're going to open up your deliberations and trying to find something good for this guy, the accused. But what does that turn out to be? What if he does find Adim that prove their zomim? What will that cause?
Mita.
What? It'll cause the witnesses now to get killed. So you're looking for acquittal for one accused just to create another one? Shehi chovasa shalzeh, which will be a condemnation of the other witnesses? What if the accused does succeed in finding two witnesses that zomify these witnesses? That would, you know, so you're helping one guy to hurt the other guy?
That doesn't... Want
the
truth,
yeah, but again, we're like, it's not really good for them. The Gemara says, wait a minute. Well, I don't even, the Gemara says, wait a minute. Ula's right. It's not so bad for them. What's the worst that's going to happen? Let's play it out. What's the worst that will happen? Play it out. The guy says, you got any witness that can zomify them? Yes. Yeah, so what happens? He brings two witnesses. They say, how could you be here at this time you were with us? Then what happens?
Yeah, that's the same thing to the other guy.
fine. And let's say that these next witnesses are true.
Uh-huh. The first witness should have to be punished. Or the accused goes free.
The accused goes free. No, what happens to the first set of witnesses?
They get punished.
Do they?
Of course, they should.
Guess we all forgot a Gemara we learned long ago. When do Adim Zomamim get the punishment? No. At what point?
Once the verdict is called already.
Once the verdict is called.
Yeah.
They don't get punished before the verdict is called.
They assume that the verdict is
called. No, how could the verdict be called if the guy left?
So there's a questioning stage.
You weren't paying attention. Let's listen carefully.
It's the beginning of the case.
Let's learn carefully. Okay, Reuven and Shimon come into a court. We saw that Chaim was Machal Shabbos. We warned him in this and that. They bring Chaim in. You hear what they're accusing of? Tell us again. We accuse Chaim of being Machal Shabbos. Okay. Now, according to Ula, now what's the next step we do?
Huzzah.
And they listen to all their testimony. Yeah, you know, this testimony is pretty strong. Okay, do you have anybody who can zomify them? Let me see if I can find. Have they already issued a sentence on the guy yet?
No.
Have they sentenced him yet?
No.
If they're saying go look for Adim Zomamim,
no,
that we haven't concluded the case.
They have.
Now they find two other witnesses, and they zomify these first witnesses. What happens to the first witnesses? Nothing. You only punish them after the decision of the court was rendered, and they're about to execute the decision.
So what is going to happen?
Not before. Yes. Only if it got to the point where the guy would have been punished. The Bezdin did say, you are guilty as charged, and this is going to be your punishment. Then the Adim Zomim come, the Adim and knock them off. Then you give them the punishment. But not before the
so what's the difference? They're going to
get it's a big...
Later.
What?
After the...
Now the guy goes free.
Right.
So they're not going to punish these guys. You only punish false witnesses if the court renders a decision to the accused that he should be punished from that point until he gets executed. There's three stages. You have the court case until the verdict, verdict until execution, and post-execution. Three stages. The only time you kill Adim Zomamim is in the middle stage when the verdict was issued and they've not yet executed the verdict. So let's look at our case over here. We're over here.
Mm-hmm.
We're over here. The witnesses come and say, you know, this guy was Machal Shabbos. Okay. Now we're still in deliberation stage. Well, listen, do you got anybody that can maybe knock these guys off? Let me see. Yeah, I do. They bring two guys in. We're still in deliberation stage. Okay, they knock them off. They're not. If the guy says, I have, they're not going to make any pronouncement yet. They're going to wait for the guy to bring the Adim Zomim in. They ate him. And they zomify the guys right here. So what happens to the accused? You go free. What happens to these guys? Bad boys. That's all.
They committed perjury.
So what?
Can't they be taken back to court?
For what?
For committing perjury.
So now you can discuss the issue.
Case,
so they transgress what, Sam? I'm asking you so you should know.
Their lives, they made a false.
Oh, so they will now, what'll it be? What could they be punished for? Maximum.
They can never be witnesses again.
Okay, what else?
Must be some punishment.
Wasn't it a false oath?
Yes.
False oath. So now what happens to a false oath? Depending on the situation, they're going to get stoned, but they don't get killed. They don't get killed.
But they do get punished, that's what I'm trying to say.
They're not going to get killed to the guy. They're not going to get killed to the guy, right? And that's what the Gemara now says. So the Gemara defends Ula. Who says it's so bad for the witnesses? For Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Ein Adim Zomim Erogim, Zomim witnesses are not executed Ad Sheyigmar Hadin, unless the verdict has been delivered before they were discredited. We learned this in Makkas many moons ago.
This mission. Is this a capital case we're talking about?
To be any case, not in cap, any type of case.
So they're going to be executed in a non-capital case?
No. If the guy, let's say it's a monetary case, then they have to pay money. Whatever you wanted the guy to suffer, that's what you get.
Okay.
Whatever you want to give, he gets that. Okay, that Mishnah teaches that although the procedure of Zomah discredits the testimony of witnesses at any point in the judicial process, The penalty for Azam is not imposed unless the court has already handed down a verdict against the accused based on the false testimony. If Azam occurred before the verdict was handed down, the false witnesses are discredited, but they cannot be punished in vis-a-vis this type of punishment. Thus, even if the accused should manage to discredit his accusers during the deliberations by means of Azam, this would result only in his own exoneration without serving the witness to any punishment. All right, that I kind of disagree to that point, because there is, it's a much lesser punishment, but how could that not be punished for swearing falsely? Unless they didn't swear yet, which would be very unusual, but anyway, the Gemara feels that nothing bad happens to them, notwithstanding my reservations. So Ula gonna answer, says the ones who ask on Ula, who is that again? Shimon ben Elazar? No, Ula and the other one, Rabbah. Rabbah says no. Hachi Aminon. Rabbah explains his objection to Ula. It's still a problem, because Ilu Shosik, if this one, the accused, would have remained silent at the Migmar Dina until the verdict was delivered. What if he would have been silent? Mm-hmm. And then Umayisiyadim, and then he would have brought witnesses after the verdict was Umazim, and then they discredit them. Then it would result in a condemnation. I don't understand that answer at all.
Because already the verdict was passed.
It wasn't, because that's not...
Oh, yes, that's what it just said, that
okay, Sammy.
And then after the
Mishnah said, the Mishnah says, how do we begin deliberations? How do we begin? We're going back to the Mishnah. We're trying to understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, how do we begin? Begin is not end. Yes, it's begin. Begin, you haven't done anything yet. You haven't punished anybody yet.
Just before the verdict was passed.
Just because somebody... I understand. But the guy... Why would the guy wait for that point?
Because he couldn't find anyone.
So what?
He already went to the so not what? Finding it on time.
So he's saying it would result. So let's just see what he says. Then let's see my question. Hence, it's not proper for us to open our deliberations by suggesting the accused find witness to render the first testimony. Thus, the suggestion certainly carries the potential ring about the doom of the witnesses, since there's no telling when the discrediting witnesses will arrive, if they indeed exist. He's saying it potentially could be bad for them. You know, I don't really like that question so much, because they do it right in the beginning. I don't understand. Like, he's going to say either yes or either no. I hear what he's saying. I just don't understand it. And this is why I don't understand it. You're opening up the deliberations, right? So the guy, do you have any witnesses? No. If he says no, either says yes or no.
He said no.
And he's in the court. He said no. He's in the court.
Yeah.
Now, he ain't going far. You know, where does he have the wherewithal to find any other people? He'd have to be looking around the city, going around in there. He's in the court. How's he going to find anybody? If he says, yes, I do, they don't have lawyers. Already said they don't have lawyers. If he said, and if not, it has nothing to do with what the Benson said. He said, if yes, I do, so find them now. You know, who are they? Where are they? And bring them in right now.
Is he saying this way, those way?
No, I'm just saying, look, either he's got him or he doesn't have him, right? We're talking to him. We're not talking to the whole world. We're talking to the accused. Where's the accused? The accused is right here in Bezdin.
Maybe he wants to get revenge.
It's nothing to do with bringing revenge. Either you're bringing them now. Where does he have the opportunity to bring them later? Other people might be able to bring them.
Tells him come in after my verdict is done.
Yeah, he wants to get revenge. He wants to punish.
I don't even know if he knows all that. Listen, someone's going to do that. They're going to do that anyway. Yeah. if they're going to do that, it's nothing to do with them asking him.
Yeah.
If Reddy assuming he's a fiendish character, he's going to, oh, you asked me. Oh, I could really do this. Listen, he's coming to court. We don't tray a cup. If a guy's accused of a capital crime, we say, okay, you know, just go home and wait for us to call you back. The guy will skip town. I don't know how pragmatically it works. That's all I'm saying.
But we discussed this case, Rabbi, when the verdict was passed, Yeah. And the accused found two witnesses.
I don't know if the accused. I don't know if the accused.
He had 30 days.
I don't know if they. No.
And he found the witnesses.
No, I don't know if they. No, that's
the
that's not a capital case. That's a monetary case.
Okay, well,
capital case is not a monetary case.
So what are we
you're gonna with a murderer? You're not gonna let him walk around a potential murderer like that. Oh, you can just go around what you want. If it's a monetary case, all right, you go find. We'll give you 3 days to find witnesses. But that's not how we're giving him 30 days. We do these things very fast. There's no jails. There's no long, drawn-out court proceedings. They come in. They say that. We said it's done in 1 day. We say they render the decision in 1 day. So the only way that ever happens is if you know, people fight and some other guys just happen to come. The fact that we tell the guy, now we're going to cause the other guy. He could be quiet. Okay, go be quiet. And how the other guy's going to come? He doesn't have any of the time to pull it off. But if you wouldn't have said anything, then the guys from out of town will come anyway also. So that's what I don't understand. I think the question is much better than the answer. Yeah, if he would have been quiet. And if he would have been quiet, nothing would have happened. We give the guy, okay, you know, you don't have a witness. So now, you know, just go about your business. It'll be 3 years till we take you. We can kill the guy right away. Two witnesses come. What did we learn? We already learned. We don't even got to stay the next day.
So
if two witnesses come, right, they deliberate, and by the next day, the guy's finished. He's toast. So where does he have the opportunity to go and search around and look for people? The only way it happens is if somebody on their own, they hear about the case. But that's nothing to do with him. It's nothing to do with him.
In fact, it's
publicity. But what does it matter if you say to him or not? And if they don't say to him, there's still publicity. So that's why I don't like the question. I don't think it was such a bad answer. In other words, he's saying it could be a problem. I think the answer is a pretty good answer. Anyway, Gemara doesn't like it. Not was saying. I guess I don't understand the Gemara so well. But now we come to, so two answers have been knocked off. So, of course, Rabba has his own answer. All right? Pretty close to the second answer, just a little bit different, and saves an important point. Ella Amar Rabba, says Rabba, this is what we say to the accused. Now, we don't say accused, perhaps you have witnesses that can zomify them, but perhaps you have Amrin Laha, they say to him, Yeshucha Eidim Lahachachisham, do you have witnesses to contradict them, not to zomify them, but to contradict. In other words, you got witnesses on your side that are not going to make the guys guilty of perjury, but who are going to have different testimony to present. It's not the same thing. Let me explain.
Hazama is different.
Let me explain. There. Let me explain. Okay. If two witnesses say whatever they say in a case, okay, now, what happens, there's two different scenarios of opposing witnesses coming. There can be two witnesses that are going to come for the fact to make the first witnesses zomimim. Zomimim is to say, how could you have testified? You are for sure lying because you were out of town with us and you could not have made that testimony. That is totally zomifying them. But you could have two witnesses and say, you know what? We don't know where you were. We don't know anything about you two guys. We don't know anything. All we could say is that we were. What do you call that in courts when you it's an alibi. We could provide an alibi for him. You said he was Mechal Shabbos Saturday morning, 9 a.m. on this street. We were with him davening in shul at that time. And so he could not, you know, we have a different testimony. That's not perjury, that's an alibi. There is conflicting testimony. You got to understand, there's perjury and conflict. You never have two witnesses see it one way and two witnesses see it another way?
Yeah.
You never could have conflicting witnesses?
Of course you can.
You know, two people look at it, they think it's this. Two people look at it, they think it's that. And what happens in a regular case where two witnesses says, we saw it this way, two witnesses, we saw it that way. What do we do next? Throw out all the witnesses.
All the witnesses are.
Now, are the witnesses tainted because of that?
No.
Right? So we tell the guy, maybe you got two witnesses that can testify on your behalf. who can contradict, not zomify. There's a difference. When two witnesses said, how could you have testified? We know you are liars because you were out of town with us. You could not have seen this event. That's Edim Zomim, and now they get punished for perjury. But if two other witnesses says, we don't know where you were Saturday at 10 o'clock. We don't know who you are. We don't even know. We never saw you. We're only saying one thing. Chaim Yankel was with us in Shul. Now, why should you believe these more than the others? Why should we believe these more than the others? That's called conflicting testimony.
What's the resolution?
Throw out the witnesses. Case is dropped. Mm-hmm. We started over with no witnesses. No witnesses. Case is dropped. Now, can anything bad happen to the first set of witnesses if we encourage the accused to try to find witnesses who will contradict them?
No.
No? So that's what they're saying.
Okay.
Right? Thus, in a murder case, for example, the second set of witnesses claims to have seen the victim alive. Or let's say another one. You say the guy was killed. Let's say I saw him kill him at 9 o'clock in the morning. So I don't know what you saw or not. All I know is at 11 o'clock, the guy you said that got killed was still alive. Now, again, that doesn't mean the first ones are guilty of perjury. We have two conflicting. In other words, you can always have two witnesses giving different testimony. Obviously, somebody's making a mistake or somebody's lying. We don't know. We just throw everybody out. Why should you believe two more than other? The Chiddush of the Torah is that if we say, how could you have testified you were thus, that we believe the second set, that's a Chiddush in the Torah. That's a Chiddush. That is almost like a chok, as it were. But, you know, that it doesn't seem, well, look, but they're not testifying their own, they're testifying on them. That's the difference. Hear the difference clearly. If there's a case over here, Reuven kill Shimon? These guys said, we saw him kill Shimon. These guys say, I don't know what you saw. We have nothing to do with you. All we know is that Shimon was alive at this time. Okay, these witnesses are not coming to discredit these witnesses. These witnesses are giving their version of what they know, period. They're not discrediting them. How do you know that these guys are any more correct than these guys? Because they're focusing on this in the middle here. When you have Zomim, it's like, these guys testify, this guy killed this guy. These guys are not talking about this at all. They're just saying, we're coming up with a brand new case. You are liars. How do we know? Because you were with us in another time.
Yeah.
So now it's a case on you. It's a case on you.
Yeah.
Conflicting testimony is a case on this.
Two cases, okay.
So we just throw it out.
Yeah.
See the difference? Therefore, that's the answer Rabbah gives. How do we open up in favor of the accused? After the witnesses give their testimony, that could cause him to die. We say, do you have any witnesses that can counter their testimony, that will contradict the events, but not zomify the witnesses? Therefore, you don't have to worry. Their witnesses, nothing bad is going to happen to them, and we're still doing something to protect the fellow. Good? That's good. Okay? I didn't think the second answer was so bad, but this answer is obviously better.
Yeah,
it's obviously better because nothing at all happens to these guys. Nothing at all happens to them. Okay. Based on that, Morris can give another answer. Rav Kahana Omar. Rav Kahana gives another explanation for the Mishnah, how we start to favor the accused. We say like this, the judges say the following, midivrechem, they tell the witnesses, go back to the witnesses now, midivrechem nizdaka ploni, by your words, so and so, the accused, would seem to be exonerated. No. The judges say to the first witnesses, we tell the witnesses, by your words, so-and-so would seem to be exonerated. Even though what you said doesn't look like it's enough to get him guilty. According to Rav Kahana, the judges open the deliberations by telling the witnesses that they think the accused will be found innocent. In other words, they're trying to make the accused guy feel okay. He said, but we still think he's going to be innocent. The judges then begin their actual deliberations. This remark will not influence the witnesses to retract their testimony because their testimony is not being challenged. The judge merely states that the testimony may be insufficient to convict the accused. Thus, the court sets the tone for the trial. Which, just because guys say something doesn't always mean, okay, we hear what you're saying, but there's other, that's not the only thing. There could be other factors in this case. And you know what? We're not saying you're liars, but not we still think he could still win. It sets a good tone for the deliberations. That's the whole point. What does this whole mission statement accomplish at all? We start the case favorably. What does that help? What does that? We're still gonna be honest, but you want to set the tone. That's all. You're setting the tone, innocent until proven guilty, and you want to set the tone by saying, "Well, you know, I hear it. Now we're starting the deliberation. Okay, but you know, it still looks like the guy could be innocent."
They're doing that for themselves, for the judge?
Yes. That's what the Mishnah said. Why is the Mishnah... Listen, let's just throw the whole Mishnah out if you don't like it. Why are you asking questions now? You should have started asking when we learned the Mishnah. The Mishnah says we set a tone that's in favor of acquittal. We're setting the tone. Doesn't mean we're going to acquit him, but we always are trying to look at it in the best light possible. That's what we're saying. And, you know, and as honest as the judges are, it's always, you know, better for the accused if you're starting on a foot that's looking more to acquit him. That's all. And I say, oh, judges, we didn't say that. It really looks bad. And okay, now we got to work a way to get him out of it. You know, we start by saying, not necessarily, you know, it still seems he can get him. The witnesses have nothing. The witnesses can be 100% true, and you still don't convict them.
Yeah, but the witnesses that would say... Judges tell us our case is not, I mean, we don't present that.
They already testified. They already testified. They already testified.
Yeah.
But don't worry, they asked a lot of questions. No one's saying that the witnesses are liars.
No.
But maybe they didn't give enough evidence to satisfy the judges, and now they have to deliberate. Let's say they're all right, time, the first seven questions, they're perfect. Time, date. But they, you know, they really didn't know the guy's shirt, you know. And, you know, they weren't sure how big the knife was. How big was the knife? I don't know, about 5 feet. Could be more precise, 5 inches. Could be a little more precise. No, I don't know, it was a little bit dark, you know, but I saw the metal instrument. Are you sure it was a knife? Well, it looked like a knife. I mean, so there's details. That no one's saying that the witnesses are liars, but, you know, maybe they didn't give enough solid evidence in their testimony. That's what the judges have to deliberate, right? It's not just because the witness says we saw the guy kill him. Well, we want to know the exact details, right? And there's sometimes a gray area of what's an exact detail, right? Did you? Well, we saw he was running after the guy, and he was running after the guy, and they were fighting and punching and this and that, and then they went behind a rock, and then we didn't see anything else. And then he came out with a knife with blood on his hand. Well, then we know we throw out the case. Did you actually see him kill him? No, we didn't. So we wouldn't say they were liars. They just didn't see enough. You remember when a witness comes and says, I saw him kill him. But then the judges ask you, well, let's see what you really saw. We're not saying you're a liar. Okay, let's say, no, I saw him take the knife and put it into him. You know, it was when I was a kid... I should really show this one. If you ever watched Gunsmoke?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a kid. So they had one Gunsmoke where there was proper Christians moved into the area. And there were some ruffians who were making him trouble. So one day their son was in the field of chvez, and the ruffians want to have some fun with him. So they tie him up and this and that to a horse, and they make the horse go around. Like they really are, what's the word? They're torturing him.
Harassing?
No, they're they're making him run around, and the horse is dragging him, whatever. You know, but they were torturing him.
Yeah.
All right, it was not right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then that's what you see one clip, you know, and then the next clip, the parents come to see the kid's dead. Okay, so the kid's dead. The kid's dead. So it's and they know they killed him, right? And they knew they saw the guys, the bullies were taking the son away. They took him where they couldn't see the end of what's going to happen. Then they go find, they see a few hours later, see the kid's dead. So someone else makes a complaint. They go to Marshall Dillon. Marshall Dillon says, "Do you want to charge them?" These were not good guys, you know. They were just, you know, bad apples anyway. But now, oh, we finally can catch them. So this is what the guy says. The guy says, according to the Bible, you can't, circumstantial evidence does not accuse. I go, wow. It's like, and Matt Dillon says, I don't understand. We don't go with that. We don't go like the Bible. We go with circumstantial. The guy did this, the guy did this. And then 3 hours later, we see your son's dead. Then they finally go to the accused. They say, honest, Marshall, we didn't kill him. We want to have some fun with him. We want to rough him up. But honest, Marshall, we didn't kill him. And the Marshall said, what are you talking about? You did all this and this, and then the guy's dead. What do you think? And I don't remember. This was a long time ago. I don't remember all the details. But I just found it fascinating that they're talking about the Bible and this. And like, and I'm this kid learning Gemara. It's like, whoa! I think I should find it. We'll go to YouTube and find it. Just have to remember. There's like 500 episodes. I don't know what they would call it. But anyway, it was like very tsnius. Like in those days, it was, you know. Yeah. Anyway, so the end. I don't remember all the details. And then the guy has a brother. The one who got killed has a brother. Bear says, I'm going to kill him. So I don't care, Dad. He's mad at the father. The father says, thou shalt not, and all these thighs and these, and all. You don't know that it was there, and the Bible says we can't do it. So says, the heck with the Bible, I'm going to kill him. You know, and it's going to go and try to kill him. Epis, I don't know, it didn't work out, and somebody stopped him last minute. Anyway, I don't remember some of those details, but then it finally comes to the Maskana. And then it comes out that they left him, but the problem is somebody else. So I don't remember this part. I really have to watch it again to know it could. But someone saw that after they had left him alone, he wasn't dead, and he continued to walk and move and this and that. And then he was not in good shape, but sort of he continued. He didn't seek medical, and he sort of caused his own death at the end. Even though he was like 80% gone, but they didn't kill him. But then he continued to do things instead of just taking care of himself. And sort of, they found out there was some evidence that really the son unintentionally, the one who got roughed up, caused his own demise at the end. And then everybody became friends, and the parents were makabel the other guy, Shalom al Yisrael. And I said, good, the Torah wins. I remember I said that, the Torah wins. That's it. But anyway, so what am I telling you? Why am I telling you this whole story? There's a reason Hashem wants me to see these things. It's so you can see that we're not saying that the witnesses are liars. We're just saying, you know, yeah, we saw him. He put the knife in him. We saw him put the knife in him. But did you see the guy die? What do you mean? He wasn't moving. So the business still is going to look and say, well, now we got to look at it. Maybe he didn't come. Maybe they then watched the Gunsmoke episode, and then they said, well, maybe the guy, you know, instead of seeking medical, maybe he hurt him, he damaged him, but not, let's say he killed him. Maybe then later on, you know, the guy was like very not good, and then another person came a couple hours later and wanted to rob him, and the guy had a little strength left, and then another guy finished him off. You know, so we're not saying the witnesses are liars. But we just say, listen, based on your testimony, we think we're going to get them off. That's all. We're not saying you're liars. But why are they doing that? To set a proper tone that the accused, you know, the Bez will now look favorably. Okay? That's the point. So that's the answer. Let's do one more. Abai Varava, a third answer. Abai Varava, Dharmatari, they say. Amrin and Lay, we tell the accused, now it's more for the accused more than anything else. We say to the accused, you have nothing to worry about. Ilo katalta, if you did not commit murder, if you really didn't do it, lo titchal, you have nothing to be afraid of. You have nothing to be afraid of. In other words, we start off, it's not between the, it's just so the guy shouldn't feel, the guy's waiting this whole time, you know, there's not like this. Listen, if you really didn't kill, you know Hashem will help us. We'll find a way to get you out. Don't worry. And that's all that they say. Now, how do you know this whole idea? What's the source for all this that we look to the schus before for the good instead of the bad? Rashi says, well, one more explanation. I'm jumping the gun. Omar, another answer. Call me Shadelo schus. You have a lot of love. They make an announcement. Whoever has anything to give grounds of acquittal, now come forward. We want to hear evidence. So according to Rashi, the Mishnah does not mean that the judge make an actual statement in his favor, but rather they issue a call for evidence to acquit him. That is, okay, so now you got a bunch of answers over there. We had about, four answers? Gemara wants to show that the second last answer, Abaye and Rava, is, we have a proof to that. Tanya Kavaseda by Rava, we have a Bryce that supports Abaye and Rava's that says, you know, if you're innocent, nothing's going to happen to you. Why? Because Rebbe Yomar, remember, it goes back to what we learned in Sota. Remember when we learned in Sota the woman has to drink the waters? What do we say to her? We start off like this, on the favorable side. Remember, she's going to drink the water. What do we know is going to happen? If you were bad, you're going to get killed. But if you weren't, now which clause do you say first? If you were bad, you're going to get killed? Or if you weren't, you won't get killed?
You weren't.
Ah. If no man lied with you, vim lo satisa, and you did not stray, then good things are going to happen. Then they go to the bad things. So coming up to the next page, Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, Mikan, from here we see, Sheposchin Bidini Nevashas Tchila Lischus. We first open up by looking in favor, because you see from the biblical case over here, the Sotah's test is akin to a capital trial, and that the water still miraculously kill if she indeed is guilty of adultery. Now, when administering the water to her, the Kohen first tells her that the water will not harm her if she's innocent. You see what's going on? Mm-hmm. So therefore, we see from the Bible, the Torah, that we do go positively first, and we talk to the accused. If you're innocent, it'll be good. But if you weren't, it wasn't okay. So we apply the same thing over here. Once we hear the witness's testimony, we say, listen, we're going to deliberate now. If you didn't know anything, you don't have nothing to worry about. And that would fit in, and there's the two dots. Perfect place to stop.